Hello and welcome to Trino Community 59. Can you believe it? The numbers are climbing up. We are having more regular episodes. And today I'm especially excited because I'm going to be joined by Lucas Eder, who is a long-term Java geek. And as a Java developer myself, that's been in the ecosystem longer than you want to know about. This is going to be super interesting. Juke is also a very interesting technology that reminds me back on the old days when I was hacking on Hibernate. But hopefully it's better than that because, oh my God, was that painful sometimes. Anyway, it's also good to be on a virtual call again and see you all. Last week, I was at the Open Source Summit North America and also at a sort of like data engineer things meetup in Seattle. And I met a bunch of users from the Trino community and beyond in person. It was great to see people like Kevin and stuff and hand out the Fortuna books and all that kind of stuff. But oh my God, it's also super exhausting to go to a conference for a couple of days and talk to people all the time and like catch up with old friends, meet new ones. But it's also awesome. But today we're going to talk with Lucas about Juke. But before we get to that, I will tell you more about the release that happened while we were all out. And that is a cool release. It is Trino 4.45 got released. As you remember, last time we talked about Trino 4.44, which now uses Java 22 already in the Docker container. We have not switched to Java 22 as a requirement just yet, but it's coming. In Trino 4.45, Marios and the gang around the Delta connector created a couple of new great features. Time travel queries are now also supported in the Delta Lake connector, and you can also do a create or replace table statement, which will work cleanly in the history of the Delta Lake of that table and stuff like that. So that feature is now also pulled into the Delta Lake connector, which is really cool. In the Hive connector, you can now write bloom filters in Parquet files, which is obviously very useful for performance improvements on then later querying that data with the help of the filters. MongoDB connector got dynamic filtering, and our new Snowflake connector that only joined us after a long, long development. It's already getting a lot of traction, and in the last couple of releases, it got various pushdowns for performance improvements, and in this one, it got, I don't know, like close to 10 new pushdowns in terms of function pushdown, which is super exciting. So Trino releases are chugging along. Not sure if we're going to cut another one today, but otherwise, you know, we'll try to stick to our regular schedule. And that is it for Trino releases. I'll talk more about other news later on, but now it is time to say hello to Lucas. Hey, Lucas, thanks for joining us. I hear you're like far away somewhere.
From your perspective, yeah, I guess so. I'm in Switzerland.
Yeah, so it's late for you. It's early for me, but we're making this work. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So do you want to introduce yourself a little bit? Like, obviously, some people might know you as a Java champion. Maybe like, how did you get into the Java ecosystem and how did you become a Java champion? And then we'll dive more over into Juke.
Well, I guess being a Java champion was a consequence of making Juke. And at the time when I was a nominated Java champion, I was also a member of the board of the Java User Group Switzerland. At that time, I didn't have kids yet, so I had more time for this kind of stuff. So now I'm mostly working from Switzerland, from St. Gallen, where I live, completely remote. And I've cut down a little bit on the community efforts and activities, but I'm still doing Juke full-time, as I've been doing for the last 11 years already, I think.
Oh, wow. So, that's a long time. So hang on, 11 years.
2013.
So that was like Java 6, 7, something like that, I want to say.
Yeah, I think Java 8 was around the corner in 2014. Yeah.
But you've been in the Java ecosystem. Like, I mean, that's when you started Juke, but you must have been in Java's ecosystem before then already. So you started with like Java, what, like 1.2, 1.3 or something?
1.4, actually.
1.4, okay.
Java, I did PHP. Good old memories.
All right, well, that sounds terribly familiar.
Did that as well.
I did similar things on the other side of the continent,
yeah,
of the ocean. So, yeah, no, that's awesome. So, what is a Java champion?
Well, a Java Champion is it's an award much more than maybe other programs like Microsoft MVP or Oracle Ace, which are kind of a goes both ways, where the vendor and the individual work together to further the success of a brand like Oracle. But Java Champion is really an award for someone who is very involved with the community, either in the form of doing open source or writing blogs, helping the community understand Java better, and also, of course, events like Java User Group events and stuff like that. So there are different topics where you can get involved, and existing Java champions may nominate you then to become one of them. So that's
okay, cool. You're still active though. Like, I mean, you said you mentioned you are like not doing use, like you're not doing user yeah. groups and stuff like that anymore. But you're still very active on various forums, right? Like, I'm like, you're definitely very active on Twitter with lots of geeky stuff.
Yes, and again, the blog, the Juke blog, is it used to be much more about Java, also core Java stuff. Currently, it's more about SQL and Juke. But at the time, I was also investigating, like for instance, Java 8 features when they were fresh and out. But it's a lifetime award, so they can't take it away from me anymore, even if I do less community stuff now.
Yeah, no, well, congratulations, well-deserved, I'm sure. You've been doing a lot from like what I can see from far, and you continue to be very involved in like the whole SQL and Java ecosystem, so it's really cool. And you know, maybe we get to try some of those new Java features that we're gonna play with in the Trino ecosystem soon, like foreign function call.
Oh, yeah, I'm still supporting Java 8, so
So maybe we should like start diving into our the episode is Juke. So What is Juke? Like four letters, okay. So
yeah, Juke stands for Juke Object Oriented Querying, but the object oriented is just a word game on how it's built, not how users interact with it. As you put on your summary, it generates Java code from a database. So you have a database schema, you get Java code generated from it. So you have a type safe schema representation in Java, and you can query it with a Fluent API that looks almost like SQL. So it kind of feels like PL SQL or procedural SQL languages for Java developers within Java, and everything is type safe, and it feels really nice and embedded. And it's especially powerful when you have dynamic SQL because of the Fluent API. You can build dynamic queries very easily to arbitrary levels of complexity. That's that.
Okay, cool. So basically, you can write SQL by not writing SQL, like Juke takes care of like translating it and moving it over into the database and all like the connection.
Yeah, but it's an API, it's a Java API, but the mind is being tricked by the API because all the methods look like SQL clauses. So I really spent all this time being very careful not to invent new concepts other than sometimes new concepts are useful, but most of the time if the clause is called group by, then the method is called group by in Juke as well. So you really think you write SQL. So when you have a SQL query in your mind, you want to write it like this, you can write it down like you have it in your mind with Juke. So there's no, let's say, impedance mismatch between the API and the language.
Okay, that's awesome. So you have to promise that you're going to show us a demo later now.
Yeah, I do have one prepared.
All right, that's cool. So Juke is your project. You're working it on your own with Data Geekery. Is that still the case? Like that's how you started, I guess?
Yeah, so it started in 2009 as an open source project because I've seen a lot of companies here in Switzerland where I worked before where they all wanted to have query builder. So whenever you have dynamic SQL, you need some sort of query builder because you don't want to concatenate strings, right? And most of those builders were very simple. They could do select from where, which is what most people use all the time, but they couldn't do joins, for example, or maybe just one or two joins. They were very simple because those companies, their business is not maintaining an API like this. Their business is making business logic. And I mean, at the time, maybe 15 years ago, I was working with Hibernate And it also had criteria API, something like that. Before, it was a standard in JPA, but it was very simple. I mean, it also solved only those problems where you can dynamically create filters mostly, right? So I saw that most companies never went any further. And I thought maybe someone had to actually go all in on this and implement all of the SQL language in this kind of API. So you should hardly ever get limited by SQL syntax, except if maybe it's really, really very obscure and vendor specific. But usually by now, 15 years later, I think you'll be hard pressed to find an ordinary SQL feature that is not represented in the Duke API.
Wow, that's impressive considering how big the SQL spec is and all that stuff. That's a big, big, tall order. So to just understand, so you're writing with this Fluent API, a SQL statement is the output, and then that gets fired into the database, and then in the database it just runs as a SQL statement, and the data somehow comes back, and like you work with it.
Yes.
Okay, so
it works on top of JDBC, so you don't have to do the bindings manually. So that's another problem that all ORMs solve. So with JDBC, you have to manually bind variables and remember which column position is where, etc. And with Juke, you can just run the query and you get tuples back, essentially, right? So everything is type safe also with the mapping and fetching.
Okay, so just for those of you out there that are not either old heads in the Java ecosystem or not as well versed as Lucas, you talked about Hibernate before. Hibernate is an object relational mapper, right? So you create objects and then you have methods on those, and like it can like sort of like also define the data. Like in my experience, at least, you kind of write the objects and then you like say, and by the way, dump it into the database. And then like the database ends up kind of being weird to some degree. And like, you don't really like have this, like it can, and the SQL is different. So Juke is not an object relational mapper though, right? It's more like the database is already there.
Yeah.
And well, then you work with it.
It depends what you call an object relational mapper. I mean, Juke also maps relations to objects in the end, right? So you could call it that, but it lacks one core feature of ORMs like Hibernate, and that's object graph persistence, which is something that Juke really doesn't want to focus on. It's not that it's useless. It's a very useful feature for some applications where you have a lot of entities and you wanna synchronize them with the database in a very simple and convenient way. So that's more about writing complex object graphs, but Juke is based on the assumption that you have a very old legacy database, which is what I've seen in all previous jobs. So you have maybe a 20, 30-year-old database in Oracle, and it's never going to change, right? So you're never going to move that data elsewhere. It's going to stay in that relational system. But maybe your client application will change. You're going to refactor from doing servlets back in the day or J2E, whatever, enterprise Java beans. And then now you want to do whatever JavaScript framework is on vogue right now. So I think Angular is too old now. But the database never changes. So Juke is really from this perspective, from this kind of application where you have a well-designed schema, you have everything normalized, you have all those, you have an ERD, a diagram, and you think about your schema as a separate thing from your application in some sense, and you have maybe 20 applications connecting to one single database, which is still a model that works very well, even if it's not as fashionable anymore. And with that, Juke comes into play, and it doesn't question your schema. Your schema is there already, so Juke wants to get to work with any kind of schema that you have.
Juke, yeah, it also means it also doesn't that also mean that like not only like it also works for like other databases where the schema is optimized for certain use cases and whatever. It just adapts to whatever the schema is, right? It doesn't force it on you. Okay.
So unlike maybe an ORM, which is very opinionated about how you should design a schema, Juke can work without primary keys. It doesn't really matter. So you have a log database or some data warehouse, star schema, whatever. Juke can write any sort of query on any schema because it really doesn't care about how you design the schema. It tries to work with anything it gets.
Cool. And then, of course, because it creates straight SQL, it's also pretty fast then, right?
Yes. Well, you can make it as fast or slow as you want, depending
on... as terrible as your is. So we're already getting a comment here. I don't know. An anonymous LinkedIn user is saying that I love that Juke can usually rewrite unsupported queries into semantically equivalent queries that work.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that's interesting. So it rewrites the queries?
Well, you have to think about it this way. So you create a joke representation of your query. For instance, let's talk about Trino. And a thing that I've implemented just now for the next version 3.20 of Juke is support for Lambda expressions, which Trino has. So Trino mm-hmm. has aggregate functions based on arrays, which can aggregate arrays into other arrays, for instance, with Lambda expressions. So you have map, filter, and these kind of things. And Juke now represents this object model of a Lambda expression taking higher order function in Juke. And for instance, in Postgres, that doesn't work out of the box, right? Postgres didn't implement any such higher order function yet. I hope they will, but they don't.
Well,
yet.
Those like from what I understand, like Trino tries to like follow the standard, and those higher order functions are in the newer standards, but
no, they're not. I've never seen them. No, I don't think
not. So. Oh, okay. Then I would have to ask
my opinion, but I think they need some fleshing out. It's an interesting idea, but I think to be in the standard, they have to be fleshed out a little bit more. And be maybe more generic, not anything. Just for arrays. But what I'm trying to say is you can make it work on Postgres by implementing a nested query with unnesting an array, aggregating the array back, and applying the filter in an ordinary select. So there's a transformation going on in Juke mm-hmm. that translates arbitrary SQL into arbitrary other SQL.
Okay, wow, that's amazing. So Juke is your main project, right? Like I saw that you also have some others on the Data Geekery website. They are sort of like how do they compare? Like what are some of those others and how do they compare to Juke?
When Juke was started, I had various ideas and they all arose from Juke itself. So for instance, there's a project that implements unsigned numeric types, which are missing in Java. You hardly ever need them, really, but sometimes you really want to have an unsigned integer that goes to 4 billion instead of 2 billion, right? And some databases like MySQL support them as well as a data type, so Juke has to have some sort of representation for that data. And using just int and letting the user mingle with bitwise operations is really tedious. So Juke implemented unsigned data types, and I extracted that from the Juke project into an independent project that you can download just like that if you don't actually want to have Juke. And similar for XML, there's Jukes, where X stands for XML, where you have some jQuery style API that you can use to query the DOM, which I always loved jQuery. jQuery is really a very good API in JavaScript. I really loved how convenient it is to manipulate the DOM in JavaScript. And I rebuilt this API for Juke integration tests mostly. So this is project that came out of Juke integration test, so everyone can use it independently now. And there's also JuLambda, which added a couple of stream API enhancements that I thought was missing in Java 8, like the zip with index and these kind of things, which now we'll have the gather API, which I take is a very, very well designed, but I only wonder why these basic operations that other languages have, we don't have in Java. I think it's mainly because the Java Stream API focused on parallelism, which makes zip with index very hard to implement reasonably. But I think most people don't actually use the parallel streams. So it would have been nice. So JuLambda is about this. And it was a nice marketing initiative to when Java 8 came out and everyone was complaining, oh, we're missing this and we're missing that. And why is it so limited? Mm-hmm. The Stream API, so I kind of filled the gap there, but it's not really that popular anymore these days. Still a couple of users are using it, but I'm not pushing it because I don't want to focus anymore on these secondary projects, because Juke is really a big thing and compared to those other things. So
it's a big thing. What is a big thing? How big is the Juke? Like in VR,
it gives me enough work. So every moment I focus on those other projects, or even one more, I can't focus on what my customers pay me for in the end. So they were fun to implement at the time, but these days I'm mostly only doing Juke.
So how does Juke break down and who are your customers then that use those different aspects then?
Our customers are in all industries because SQL is in all industries, right? So the biggest ones that I can mention from the website include, I have to check if I can mention them. Some of them explicitly told me not to.
We'll have to
see. Yeah, but instance, Apple is one of the customers, AXA, Allianz, Citrix, Infor, Disney, Intel, really big companies, Walmart, T-Systems, Standard Chartered. So it's in all industries, all big companies use. Those are paying customers. So I don't know who's using the open source version. It's much more popular than the paying version, of course. I'd say about 10% of the market wants to write SQL in the way Juke offers. So 10% of the market really wants to write SQL as an embedded domain-specific language. There's a lot of people who want to use ORMs, of course, and Juke is not for them. And there's also a lot of people who want to write native SQL. So they want to write SQL as in string form, and like when you write a view. And for those people, Juke doesn't offer that much advantage. So maybe they're not using Juke either, but I'd say maybe 10% of the Java ecosystem by now should more or less use Juke. That's an estimate from the download numbers.
That is ridiculously big.
Yeah, it's just an estimate. I can't prove it. I've seen some surveys and the download numbers from Maven Central suggest that it should be around that.
So is there any other project that are like competing with you? I mean, obviously Hibernate is, I guess, still alive.
Hibernate is focusing on this stuff. They've added a couple of new features in terms of what kind of SQL they support. So they've discovered just recently that window functions exist or lateral and operators like that. I guess they will invest more in that area. But from what I take, they don't care too much about the DSL. So for instance, Kevin King just recently published what they're working on is a competing API to Spring Data. They think you want to write your SQL in string form into annotations and then have the benefit of their implementation is that you can type check the SQL, well, HQL, not SQL.
Yeah,
and the Hibernate query language syntax in the compiler with annotation processor.
Yeah, oh, fun.
Yeah, I've experimented with that as well in the past. I thought that it's not something that the Juke audience wants, but you can use Juke as well to type check your SQL strings in Spring Data if you want. So,
yeah. So maybe the only project that I know from the past, but that's probably like mostly dead. I think it used to be called iBetis, and then changed to MyBetis. That was more about writing the SQL. That was to the database, but that's not really competing anymore because I think that's like unmaintained, is it?
I think there's still a couple of folks working on that. But I mean the MyBetis is mostly a templating engine, so it's XML based. You embed your SQL string in XML files, and then you can compose it to have dynamic elements. But it's all text based, so it works nicely. I've done similar things in the past for an employer where we were using Velocity templates. It can work. It's just quite hairy if your dynamic SQL gets complicated. But if it's simple, if it's just one additional predicate, you can do it like that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure who is using it still. I think it's very popular in China, but I'm not really looking into what my bad is doing, so I can't really tell you.
All right, so everyone should go and download Juke and try that instead.
Yes, of course.
So where can they find that?
Where you can download Juke at juke.org.
Juke.org. All right, that sounds really cool. And then you can get it as an open source thing or as a commercial thing, or how does that work?
So the model is, it used to be all open source when I started. And then in 2013, I created a company to support the development with paying customers. And I switched to a dual licensing model where you have to pay if your database product is also commercial. So Oracle SQL Server support and drivers are now commercial. And all the open source database products are still supported by the continued open source edition of Juke. So if you work with Trino, for example, but also Postgres, MySQL, and everything is all open source. In the meantime, there are also some really advanced commercial features. So only paying customers get to use, for instance, policies implemented in Juke. So I'm not sure if you're aware of this feature. Some databases have it for row-level security. You can say, a user with this role can only access these rows in this table. And you can implement that on the client side by transforming your SQL statement in a way that you can never read or write a record that you're not allowed to. So, for instance, when you have a multi-tenancy system, and you're tenant number 42, and you should never see the data from tenant number 45. So Juke will transform all of your insert, update, delete, merge, select statements, so to prevent seeing any of that data.
Okay, so it puts that up into that level. That's interesting. Like normally, yeah. Typically, like in many cases, at least in the Trino ecosystem and stuff, we see like those data lakes, and then like that those access controls get pushed more and more down all the way to.
Yeah, it's always better to push it down, but maybe your database system doesn't support that, right? So if you're using MySQL, you don't have it available. In Postgres, yeah. Obviously, you should use the Postgres native feature, but maybe your application needs to support 5 different database products. And since Juke can translate between any SQL and any other SQL, you can implement it inside of the Juke layer. So I'm not saying you should do that. I would advocate using the native functionality if you can, but maybe you can't for some reason.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. So you have another fan here. Sofiane Lochen is saying he was using Query DSL before switching to Juke. So thanks for letting us know, Sofiane. And I hope you're enjoying Juke, as evidently lots of other users out there are, which is really cool.
Yeah, Query DSL is a really cool project. At the time, the creator, his name was Timo Westkamper from Finland, and we were always discussing and a little bit bickering as competitors on each other's user group. But we were really discussing and learning from each other, and it was advancing both of our APIs, the competition. So unfortunately, he stopped working on it maybe 6-7 years ago or even more. And Query DSL is hardly maintained. So there are some people, some volunteers who jumped in, but it's like ever so often with open source, if there's no company behind it or no one with a real interest, real financial interest, it risks dying, and it's very unfortunate for Query DSL, I think.
Yeah, well, you've done very well with Juke, so congratulations on that. Lots of users are interested. So tell us more about, like you were alluding before, that like it works against many different databases. So like a SQL query writer with a long history in different databases myself, I know that it's super painful. And you must be touching all the very, very painful edge cases. So tell us a few war stories from dealing with the different SQL dialects, and also tell us how good about Trino fares in that realm.
Well, I don't know if you want to show my pinned tweet, which is exactly about this.
Don't know.
Never mind. Let's say SQL is a very old language at first. So SQL itself is already a bit weird sometimes. But then even if there's a standard, everyone thinks they know it better or differently or whatever. So there are always really, really weird edge cases that I keep discovering, and a lot of bugs as well, especially with more recent database products. I actually enjoy this. It's kind of like archaeology. I dig out the really most weird SQL syntax, and I'm trying to see if I can. It's like a puzzle. Can I actually emulate a standard?
I'm gonna show this tweet because it is very funny.
Yeah.
So you see yourself as an old, disgruntled, and experienced sailor that has seen many storms out on the seas.
Yeah. Well, on the foe, really.
Yeah, really yeah, that's very true. Like that's really awesome.
Now with Trino, I have mixed feelings. I have to be honest here. I tried to go the path of least resistance, and when I implemented Trino support, I used the memory backing. How do you call it? Driver? No.
The memory connector. Yes.
And it's not complete, unfortunately. Obviously, because you don't want to focus too much on your own implementation. You're kind of like a federation of dialects or of connectors. And so this means I don't actually know how the writing side really works on Trino. So the delete or update support is not implemented in the memory connector. So I have not tested this or implemented this yet until maybe someone tells me they have a use case. So I'm mostly also demand driven. So if customers or a lot of users upvote a certain feature, then I'm going to look into it. But so far, Trino was one of the more highly upvoted features on the Juke issue tracker. So this is why I implemented the support. And that's the bad side, I think, for me. So eventually, I'm going to try out Trino with an actual connector, not with the memory connector. But the really good side is when I browsed the manual and I started implementing a lot of Trino-specific features, is what I discovered is like those Lambda expressions where I think Trino and a couple of other database products, which are kind of similar, like ClickHouse and DuckDB, which try to bring some concepts of other languages into the SQL language, which are not standardized and I've not seen in older databases, but they make perfect sense, right? So a thing that I've not seen even in Postgres yet is the map data type, which I'm very intrigued by. And I want to look into that maybe for the next release a little bit more. To have a type-safe map data structure, other than just JSON, which is not type-safe.
And it's also like not that fast and painful.
Yeah, it could be fast enough, but having a map is really cool, actually. So I'm going to have to think a bit about what that means for Juke, but you can map a map from Trino into a map in Java and then have all the type safety associated with it. So I would imagine this could be quite useful for some reports or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously like that's one of those things that's interesting to like observe, right? Like both SQL and Java are very opinionated, strongly typed in the sense. And I think that's a good match, right? Like having that matching, does that, is in that experience, does that work well for developers when like, you know, like the types are really enforced and like it works
well
on both systems?
It works really, really well. So I'll show in the demo how that can be translated to Java, especially when you use nested collections with you. I think a lot of people don't think of SQL as a type-safe language because in classic SQL databases, maybe you have just numbers and strings, right? And you have, even your SQL statement is a string, and you don't think about it as a type-safe language. But where I worked before, we wrote almost everything in stored procedures and in views. And those are compiled, this was Oracle, so those were compiled by some Oracle compiler, and everything was type-safe. So you can, in PL/SQL, which works similarly to Juke, you have a SQL query, and then you can iterate records, and the records have type-safe attributes, etc. So when you change the query, your PL/SQL code, which is the client code, no longer compiles, so you have to fix that. And if you don't use this approach, if you use string-based, like MyBatis or Hibernate, string-based templates or whatever, then you maybe don't think about SQL as a type-safe language, but it is. And there's pretty much a one-to-one mapping that you can do to Java data structures in the end. So Java has lists for result sets or for nested collections. Java has a map type. Java has a set type if you prefer that. And Java can implement tuples, especially now with Java 16 records. You can have a very nice tuple representation. Mm-hmm. So I think most people who love Juke for this because it really embeds the SQL language into Java and it feels like it's one thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. So here's another LinkedIn user. His name is Mark. LinkedIn doesn't seem to carry over the username directly. Yeah, but anyway, So he's thinking that it's then, I totally agree with that. That's like, it's interesting how some of those like non-relational systems like that focused on JSON being the latest and greatest and like awesome, more and more of those things pull it over into relational databases. And we also on the Trino side, we implemented the JSON path and now the JSON table function and that kind of stuff. Are you working with those things as well?
Yes, of course. I mean, everything that is available in SQL should be available in Juke as well. This goes from XML. So XML was once the big hype, right? And everyone wanted to write an XML database, which was crazy at the time, but it existed and then it died. And then I don't remember if XML was before or object databases also existed. If you remember that, and then everyone
like the relational
is dead. Yeah. We're going to store objects now, but it's also dead. But SQL now has both, right? SQL has arrays and structs, which are from that object hype. Mm-hmm. So in the time when the object hype arose, they standardized these parts, and Oracle was one of the leading implementations for that, as well as for XML, and now JSON as well. So we have MongoDB, which is a JSON database, and they also promised the same thing again as everyone before. And it's not dead yet, unfortunately, but I mean, to have everything in JSON makes as little sense as having everything in XML in a database because normalization is much harder and it's a good thing. But now SQL has JSON as well for those cases where it does make sense. Like for instance, unstructured log data is very nice in JSON, or you can see blog posts about audit logs. When you have an audit log where you want to log which columns have changed from what to what, it doesn't always make sense to normalize these things because you're not going to query them in a normalized way or an updated table. So you just want to log that somewhere. So why not use JSON for that, right?
Yeah, it makes sense. Like in one of the recent episodes, we talked about open telemetry, and like we also dove into the logging in Trino, and like you can configure the logging in Trino with open metrics and then also log in JSON format. And it does definitely have advantages in that kind of case as well. Now, talking about Trino, one of our very fluent contributors, Marius, who is actually in Vienna, so he's kind of a lot closer to you than me. he's asking, how did you like get into, like, what draw you to Trino? You already mentioned the issue tracker.
Yeah.
Where is Hadoop being used on top of Trino, and like how did that all happen?
So Trino was one of the issues that the user, I think, requested from Juke. It has a relatively older issue number. It had 10 upvotes and 4 hearts, which is among all the dialect requests, well, not highest, but quite high, so high enough to consider it. And there was a paying customer, actually, in the end, who had a high interest in this, and that has been a long-term customer. So along with the popular requests from users on the issue tracker and one or two paying customers who actually want the support because they're using TrinoDB behind the scenes for federation purposes, which I don't really know much about. They didn't tell all the details, but...
Yeah, that's very cool. I have to also apologize for our memory connector, by the way. That is definitely a pain point, and we do want to go and implement all the features on the memory connector exactly for that reason, right? Like, it would be awesome if the memory connector had all the features, because that way we could run all of the, like, you know, language and SPI kind of tests into the memory connector, right? Like, it would make that much simpler. It's one of those, like, yeah, we know we should do that, and like no one finds time to it. Maybe Marius is gonna have time for doing some of that, although I doubt it. He's very deep in the Delta Lake connector, which I guess that gets us to the next question I have, and that is, Trino is kind of like terrible in the sense because it supports all these different databases with connectors, and it translates into the concepts of the underlying database. But the different connectors are, in their maturity level, are different. So
yes, obviously.
So some support write, some don't. Some support views, some don't. Iceberg supports materialized views. No one other does. So it gets complicated on that aspect. How does that impact you on the Juke side? Like, are you just ignoring that fact and then the user has to deal with that headache?
No, the point is for Juke to standardize over all of this. So eventually there will be a standardization. The question is how many users are requesting it, and does it make sense to focus time on this? For instance, Juke has an Informix driver, but I'm aware of only two customers, paying customers, who are using Informix for Juke. I'm just aware of them. Maybe there are more, but I know from two. And the number of feature requests for Informix, it's really not that big either. So one of them requested user-defined type support and stored procedure support, which was kind of a lot of effort, but it was worth it for this customer. But other than that, I mean, there's a whole set of database dialects which are commercial, which are used by maybe more or less 700 paying customers these days. And that's a much smaller set of users than the open source edition, which I've said before. I'm estimating 10% of the Java market, which is huge. And most of them are using Postgres and MySQL.
Yeah.
So some are also using stuff like H2 or HSQLDB, or SQLite is also not, also quite popular, but I can say it pretty much matches what, for instance, DB Engines on their ranking page, which you may be aware of.
Yeah.
As well, to estimate if a dialect is worth supporting. And I think it reflects quite well what's going on there.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's super interesting. Yeah. Marius also observed that you filed some issues on the Trino issue tracker. We should follow up on those and like have a look at that.
Yeah, I see you've probably solved half of them already. I have them linked from the Trino issue on Juke issue tracker. Yeah, I usually find a lot of bugs because the Juke integration tests, which aren't open source, but they cover a lot of grounds by now. So after 15 years, I test all sorts of five-level nested selects and whatever, and correlation subqueries that maybe some database developers don't take off, and then there are edge cases of combining maybe JSON and array aggregation and correlated subqueries and whatever that I have to test to be sure that Juke does the right thing, but maybe in the end the database product doesn't do the right thing. So when I find that bug, I report it if I can, if there's a public issue tracker, and so you get to do whatever you want with that. So
we want our engine to be as good as possible, obviously. So that's
Sure, but maybe some bugs are really weird edge cases that are not a top priority, I guess. It always depends.
So you were saying you get most of the feature and work is happening on like the big open source product database like Postgres, obviously. Then
I think Postgres is MySQL is still the most popular open source database product, I think, in the market, but Postgres is really catching up a lot. I think mostly developers love Postgres. Not sure about DBA. It still has to do some catching up to do in terms of query performance, but a lot of Postgres folks hate me saying that, but I think coming from Oracle, it's really still lacking a lot of stuff that I thought...
The good old database wars.
The reason why Oracle is so expensive, it's also really very, the optimizer is also really very good. But Postgres for developers is really awesome. I think this is due to their extension system where anyone can write any sort of extension. Like one of the most popular ones is the PostGIS extension where you have the spatial standard from the SQL. It's also a SQL standard. And it's all implemented in there as an extension. And there are also other extensions like, I don't know, HStore or text search or whatever. And this really works very nicely for developers who have a whole tool chain and libraries within the database if they want to focus on this kind of architecture.
Do you like support these kind of like higher order functions or like into specific domains where they're like standardized? Like they're not part of the SQL spec, but they're like PostGIS, for example, is kind of close to being a standard for the geographical stuff, for example.
It is a standard,
but it's outside of the SQL standard, right? Like
no, it's part of the ISOIC. It's not in the main document, but it's one of the documents, one of the many documents.
Okay, so you support all of those where you can, basically.
Well, PostGIS, GIS was a very popular feature request as well back in the day when I supported it. And the hard part is mainly do the binding correctly and the translation between dialects. But it's a vast amount of functions mainly. It's not really a very fancy concept. There are a few data types, additional data types like geography and geometry, and maybe Postgres has point and some specializations. And then it's just thousands. Maybe not thousands, but hundreds of functions to calculate whatever, polygons and whatever. So that was a popular feature request in Juke, and I implemented maybe support for 40 or 50 of these functions by now. We'll get
Trino probably has that sort of level of functions as well. Like that's a whole bunch, but like
I don't think I've supported Trino's version yet. I haven't looked at it yet. Is it recent?
Oh no, it's been around
for a while. I haven't looked at it yet. I don't recall why. Maybe it wasn't. Did you follow the standard, or how did you implement it?
Yeah. Hey, I think it's time we do something that is going to be interesting for a lot of users, and that is. Let's see what this Juke thing looks like and what it does.
All right, so let's look at the demo, right?
Yeah, I like that. Oh, okay, you're an IntelliJ user in the light mode still, huh?
I'm sorry, I'm not an IntelliJ user. I'm just doing this for the demo because apparently everyone expects this. But I don't know any keyboard shortcuts, so I'm going to be using the mouse heavily.
That's fine.
All right, so this demo is available on GitHub as well, so you can download it. It uses Postgres. I don't have a Trino demo, but you can probably think of how it works, and it should be pretty much the same thing, especially for reading queries. So as we discussed earlier, Juke has a code generator. So we have here an actor table, for instance, which is from the Sakila database, which is an old demo database from MySQL to work on a DVD rental store. So this actor table has columns like first name and last name. right? So these are Java objects, as you can see here. So I'm going to open this actor. It's an object here that is generated in the section of generated code. So you have one Java class for each table, and each class has column attributes with type information associated with it. So you have all the information of your schema directly in your SQL queries. So when you have here, for instance, first name is a string that corresponds to this string type here. If you use last update, for instance, and you can use ID auto completion, obviously, then it just no longer compiles in Java, right? So typically, you won't denote this type here. This is just for demonstration. You can use a var type or whatever, or map it to whatever you want to do, which I'm going to show afterwards. So this is a query. It just selects first name and last name from actor, where actor last name starts with A and doesn't order by. And as I've said, this is an internal domain-specific language. So you have all the SQL clauses as methods on this object here. So CTX is an object that is connected to a database, JDBC connection in the background. So you can just start typing select from, where, etc. And you have also auto-completion for all your SQL clauses, whatever you want to write. And it's type safe also in the sense of you can't write it like this, for instance. So where belongs before order by. So you really have to follow the SQL syntax through this DSL.
That's also, it's like one thing that I'm observing straight away, like even though the code was Java, you read the query. And when you listen to it, it sounds like you're reading out a SQL query. So how you mentioned that it's very close to like the same the same words. That's super nice. Like for a SQL developer or a database guy, they can just write like.
Yes, exactly. So it's really the philosophy behind Juke, because if you're a SQL person, then you think in terms of select from, where, order by. You would maybe even run the query in DBeaver or whatever SQL editor you have, and you want to write it exactly like that in your Java code as well. So there are different philosophies. There are also similar libraries, especially in other languages, that use different names for these concepts. They want to have map reduce and these kind of filter, like this Java Stream API. But Juke really thinks you want to do everything you can with SQL. So if you want to write a cross join, you want to spell out cross join, right? So, or cross apply or natural full hash join or whatever, natural full outer join. So whatever operator you have in SQL, you want to write in Juke as well. So there's no representation in Java for natural full join, other than natural full join, right?
Wow, yeah, that's cool. And then under the hood, does it already know that this is a certain like Postgres database, and so it can only do certain statements? And there, or like, does it not know that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So let's look for something that is not available everywhere. For instance, limit. Surprisingly, still, it's supported everywhere, Bernay. No. Let's see what is offset is. Offset is not supported everywhere, so I don't have the source code attached here to the demo, so this is why you see it like this. But you see all the dialects that are listed here with the offset method.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And you could use an annotation processor and tell it to, Juke actually has one out of the box, and tell it to not compile if you use a clause that is not supported in your database. So based on these things, so... I think Microsoft Access doesn't have offset, so you see Access is missing here. And if you're using, if you're connecting to Access, you could make this offset usage not compile, right? So this could be useful.
That's funny. You support Microsoft Access.
Yeah, it's still there. It's still useful, you know.
Well, it's very powerful. It's just not very distributed.
Yeah, but you know, SQLite isn't either, so. Yeah, so there. So this is the essence of Juke. So I don't know how much time we have for the demo. I can ramble on for.
Just ramble on. There's another comment from Sufyan again. Juke generates tables, DAOs, and POJOs. In which case we use the POJOs.
So POJOs are for the opinionated folks who want to have a non-Juke representation of their data. So POJOs here is just. For example, it can generate a record, and it doesn't have any connection to Juke, right? So there's you can generate this in a different module, for instance, and then you have a one-to-one relationship between your table and this POJO if you want to have a data transfer object. I personally don't think it's very useful, but a lot of people want to work with this. And for instance, DAO, the data access object, can connect the record with the POJO and provide a simple API.
Yeah, that's a very common pattern, probably. Like it used to be, like, I know I wrote these things by hand in the past.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, this is all code generated. So one thing that I have as a question is, actually I have two. First one, you're like writing the SQL statements and then you're like causing them to be executed in your Java code.
Yes.
But in your reasons, the greatest reasons to use Juke, you also have active records.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So every table also generates a record representation. If you want, you can turn this off. You don't need it. But this one is updatable. So you have an updatable record here. And let's see, I have a demo for updatable records. Let me see where it is. Where is it? So the point of this is you can write back to the database. So some ORM features are implemented by Juke. So for instance here, you can create a new actor record and you have setters and getters on this actor record. And then you call insert and you don't write the insert query, right? So for most boring insert and update statements, this is enough. So Juke doesn't implement the full object graph persistence model where you can have a graph of related objects. You have an actor, and if the actor has films, then that's two not connected records in Juke, like active records, for instance. But it's already very, very good and convenient to not have to write inserts, updates.
Yeah, like if you have some sort of like a user interface that, like, you know, where people fill in the form, then you can use that. Yeah. Just pump it in, right?
So this is what you do, right? So you select in the user interface this actor here. You say that the last name is now Smith, and then you store it back to the database. And you don't care. You don't even care if it's an insert or update. Obviously, you can still write it out specifically if you want. All the insert update syntax is also supported, but you don't have to.
Cool. Next question that I came up with in my head now. When do you run the code generation? Like the reason I'm asking is databases are never the same. Like they always change. So someone has to go, well, I have to add this field now. And then like how is the timing around that managed? Or how do you have to like work with that? Or does there some sort of like
fallback? So there are two philosophies here. One of them is you don't check in the generated code. So generated code is not part of your code. Is a separate library that you generate ad hoc every time. And then, for instance, you can use a Maven or a Gradle plugin or whatever to use that every time you build. And you use Flyway, for instance. And in this example, I also use test containers, I believe. Or didn't I? I think I did.
Okay, so like you on the fly, look at the schema, generate the code. And then potentially, if there's something missing or whatever, then the code will fail.
Yeah. So my preferred way that I always recommend is you use Flyway or Liquibase to manage your schema. And every time you change something in your managed schema, automatically your Java code will be regenerated in your build. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, some people prefer doing the regeneration manually, and then they check in the generated code as a library. That is also an option. So I'm kind of impartial to what is better for a team, whatever they prefer. Both have their benefits and disadvantages. But typically, I think meanwhile, with test containers, which I'm using here, you can just run your Flyway migration. If the schema is not huge, you can run it in every build and then regenerate it in every build and have continuous integration on your schema.
Yeah, I think in large organization, it probably gets a bit more painful when you have like only DBAs being allowed to
produce
production database, and you have a testing and staging and blah 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 with the different code bases. So then,
yeah, in that case, you can do it manually and check in the generated code.
Yeah, so it's good that you're supporting both use cases and stuff like that. So really cool.
Yeah, Juke really tries to be not opinionated about non-core features like this. This is not really a core feature. How you build your software. So Juke tries to be not opinionated, so you can use any preferred way that you want.
Cool. Anything else you want to show us?
It looks very interesting. The most important thing really is type safety in Juke. So for instance, here I have a query where you have select actor first name and last name, and here you have a union, and we all know that the unions are type safe in SQL, so you can't just go and write last update here. So this this query won't compile anymore, right? So because the first subquery has two strings and the second one now no longer has two strings. So type safety is really at the core of Juke, like it is in with SQL. And this is really very, very powerful. I'm not going to show all the examples so people can check it out on GitHub. But when you nest collections, where is that example? So Juke implemented a SQL standard feature called multi-set. So here's too many relationships. So this is the example. So there's a scary type here. I'm going to ignore it for now. But what I'm doing here is I'm selecting all the films and their titles. And then I'm nesting all the actors per film and all the categories per film, right? So you have a sort of path-based implicit join expression here that is supported by other ORMs as well, like Hibernate, or also I'm aware of PHP ORMs that also did this. So here you can implicitly join from this film table to the category table and get the name. And this is generating a query that behind the scenes does some magic with either with standard multiset, if it's available, or with JSON or XML to nest the collection. And it's all type safe. So this is really magical, I think. You have this string here, which is the film title. And then you have a second column is a nested result with two strings. So the first name and the last name, right? And the third result is also a nested result with the category name. And again, if I use a last update here, the whole thing will no longer compile because this doesn't match this type, right? And you're not going to use this type here. Either you're going to use var if you want to work with these tuple representations, or much more probable is that you're going to create records in Java or whatever kind of type. For instance, you have an actor and a category record and a film. And here you see the nesting, right? So the film type has the title and the list of actors, which is this actor here, and the list of categories, which is this category here. And the actor, again, has a nested record called name because you want to reuse names maybe. So this is the whole query now, and you have these conversions here. So the first multiset nested collection is converting the whole thing to an actor. And it's all completely type-safe. It's all completely type-safe. If you change here again, last update, the whole thing won't compile anymore because now the Java compiler notices that this last update here, it can't be used with the name, and the name can't be used with actor anymore. So the whole query doesn't compile anymore because there's a type lack of type safety at this point. So you have to fix your query.
This is like quite amazing because ultimately the benefit comes because Java as an ecosystem has extremely mature tooling that has all that, and the SQL. Yeah. I'm not aware of a SQL editor that does type checking, to be honest. Like
no, probably not. Even IntelliJ, which is probably currently the best IDE out there, doesn't have a very powerful SQL editor. I've tried playing with it, but it's very difficult because every database product is so different. So it's very hard to get it right, I guess.
Yeah, and you're abstracting that away and like indirectly supporting that. That's really cool. Cool. Well, Juke is really very interesting, and I hope we can make this work even better for Trino in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe we even get our memory connector working for you.
Huh?
Maybe we get our memory connector working for you as well.
Yeah, so that would be great. As soon as you have that, I will invest more. But if you have feature requests, just let me know, all right?
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much, Lucas. Anything else we should know about Juke or your work on Java and Twitter and wherever else you are like can be found?
You definitely follow me on Twitter for more information about Juke. I mean, I could, as I said, I could talk about Juke for ages. Do check out the demo. I've only scratched the surface. As you can see, there are a lot of other features that are not maybe primary. So, for instance, there's a parser where you can use, where you can translate SQL directly in the string form between dialects. So if you want to migrate off some Oracle database towards Postgres, this is the most popular migration use case. You can use the parser as a JDBC driver. So you see this is Oracle SQL statement with instr, and this will run on Postgres because you can translate this behind the scene. Wow. But there's so much more. I mean, you can use computed columns. You can store procedures. If you have stored procedures, Juke code generator will also generate code for those, and you can bind them to them directly. You have generated stubs to call them directly. There's a lot of SPIs where you can transform your SQL queries. I don't know where to stop. There's
Let's throw in one more question from Sofian. He is asking, what's your way to configure the database connection in the POM file? You use the Maven plugin to read properties and inject them in the
POM. You know that Juke is really not opinionated about this. So so to configure here, I think I have a parent POM file where I did it. You just pass JDBC connection URL as everywhere. So this is how I set up test containers. This is where's Juke? Here you go. It's just like that. Okay. I mean, JDBC is so ubiquitous and the standard. Everyone knows how it works. So Juke does nothing special here.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much, Lucas. That is crazy interesting. I'm sure lots of people will check this out and hopefully also play with Trino. Any Juke users, follow us on the Trino.io website, and any Trino users, go to Juke.org, right?
That's exactly.
All right. That's super cool. Thank you again. And I enjoyed chatting with you, and we'll see you next time. I will jump over to talk about a few other things, but to round out the show. And that is what am I rounding out the show with? Here, I have to think. So first things first, can you believe it? In an hour, we're going to have a Trino contributor call. So we have the Trino contributor call later today, where anyone that works in the Trino ecosystem can jump in and talk to some of the maintainers and contributors about what's going on, if they have any PRs hanging up and stuff like that. So join me on that. I already told you all about our my visit to Seattle and the data engineers group earlier. Last but not least, more Trino community broadcast episodes are coming in the next 3 or 4 weeks again. We're looking for any guests, and there's a few in the pipeline, but if you want to follow up on Lucas or any other and talk about what you're working on with Trino or an integration with Trino, please do let us know. And then last but not least, Trino Fest is happening in June in Boston. And we now have a full speaker lineup. We have our sponsors, Starburst, OneHouse, Alaxio, Cloudinary, and Upsolver so far on board. It's going to be an amazing event. If you look at the blog post here, we have covering everything, Iceberg, Delta Lake, Hoodie. We talk about very small scale with Benjita from Executive Homes. Massive scale performance tuning with Jonas from Dune. We talk with Matun Bord from Apple and others from the Apple team about query intelligence and lineage and so much more. Of course, Martin is also going to do the keynote about what's going on in the Trino ecosystem. It's going to be awesome, and you have to register. It would be awesome if I see you in person in Boston, but if not, you can also join the event for free. No problem, virtually from anywhere in the globe. So please do register. And you can see the register button here. Also, obviously, if you go to Boston, register for the hotel soon. And then on the day after, we also have a contributor congregation for those of you that are working on Trino projects yourself and want to contribute or are contributing. Myself, a whole bunch of other maintainers and contributors will meet in person to get deep down and dirty on Java code, just like we did with Lucas today. And that is it. So thank you very much for joining me today. We missed Cole. Shout out, Cole is busy elsewhere. Hopefully we'll see you again in the next episode. And with that, I will call it a day. Can you believe it? Next time it's going to be episode 60.
Music for the show is from the Mega Man 6 gameplay album by Krzysztof Swabikowski. Don't forget to give us a star on the Trino repository at github.com/TrinoDB/Trino. And for more information on future shows and to find show notes, check out Trino.io/broadcast.